Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
What we learned investigating the death of Chicano student activist Oscar Gomez.
It sounds like you ran almost every theory to its end.
Binge all 8 episodes of Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wonderful to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Coming up next hour, we're going to take a look at the death of retail establishments and what it can mean to communities. Boyle Heights is going through this now as next month the venerable Sears store in the community closes its doors. It's not only a landmark store, but the larger location, the huge warehouse that it's in, also a central part of Boyle Heights and its identity. We'll talk about what that means to that community in Los Angeles and also other communities that have lost stores that were a big part of the identity and the service provided in those communities. Right now, though, it's COVID-19 vaccine passports. That's our focus. I mentioned before the break, some countries have embraced this, Israel being one of them. And we've already heard some businesses like cruise lines looking at some sort of proof that a passenger would be able to show that she or he has been vaccinated before getting on a cruise ship. Joining us is Raman Bastani, who is the CEO of Health Vanna, LA-based company that provides medical record platforms to healthcare providers and to patients, as they have a partnership with Los Angeles County providing digital vaccine records. Thank you very much, Mr. Bastani, for joining us. We appreciate it. What are your thoughts, first of all, about using a digital medical record or proof of vaccination as a way of easing people's concerns about possible COVID exposure?
Thanks for having me on the show. So I guess the first place to start is we announced this partnership with the county a little while ago, and already hundreds of thousands of people are using Health Vanna when they receive their digital vaccination records after they've gotten their actual vaccination. So it's available for a number of locations, several hundred throughout the county that we end up working with. And our platform has been working previous to COVID in HIV and protecting the most sensitive data by way of HIPAA in the United States. And we also have been delivering COVID-19 test results before this. We've delivered about 10 million across the United States. So we're used to this kind of work, and we've already helped hundreds of thousands of patients on a weekly basis share either their COVID test results or vaccination record to get on a plane, to get back to school, to get back to work. What we really like is the idea that it's better than a piece of paper, that you have something that has good writing on it, you know, may have bad writing on it, I guess, and then you can keep that reminds you if it's been Moderna or Pfizer, and a way to actually show that if you need to.
What about concerns that even something that's in a digital wallet could be hacked, that somehow that information could still be counterfeited or compromised?
Yeah, I think that concern is always there, and the same concern is there if I show you a piece of paper that's a 3x5 that copies what the CDC has put together. So I think that concern is there either way. We do everything we can to make sure that doesn't happen. We also have a QR code that's actually on that pass. And one of the unique things about us, we're the first in the country to put it in your Apple wallet. So much like you have a boarding pass, you can actually put this into your wallet. And then it also updates, especially in the future, if there's a booster, we can send you notification that, hey, there's a booster available since you have the Moderna and there's this new variant. But at its core, we think this is better than just having a piece of paper and then having it digitally so at least you don't lose it.
Is it only available for Apple users to go Apple Wallet or Google's equivalent?
We're also launching the one with Google in the coming weeks.
All right. We're talking with Raman Bastani, CEO of Health Vanna, LA-based company that provides medical information to healthcare providers, also launching in partnership with LA County, this digital medical record, which can be used to show that someone has been vaccinated. My question for you is, How much of a reliance do you think we should put on those? And should they be widely accepted? Should businesses use them as a condition for entry or participation to provide a higher degree of safety? Or are you concerned that that would exclude so many people who don't have access to digital wallets or that otherwise wouldn't have a way of proving that they'd been vaccinated, that it would be unfair to rely on a system? 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Also with us is Nicole Hassoun, visiting scholar at the Einaudi Center for International Studies at Cornell University. She's also professor of philosophy at Binghamton University and author of Global Health Impact, Extending Access to Essential Medicine. She wrote a recent op-ed piece in Scientific American titled How to Make Immunity Passports More Ethical. Professor Hassoun, we appreciate your being with us. In what ways do you think that if we are going to go this route with vaccine passports, that they could be more ethical?
Yeah, I mean, I think first thing is to ask ourselves how much we want to go down the path in the first place, because there has to be something really important at stake to justify constraining people's freedom to travel, to go into bars, restaurants, or whatever we're going to use this for. And if it's a question of, will this reduce transmission rates, how much and what are the alternatives? So I think first is that question. And then, you know, there's people who can't get vaccinated. There's people in developing countries who will never get vaccinated. And is it okay then to restrict their ability to travel, and for how long and for what reasons? You know, people can have really important health things at stake in travel, or family, you know, to visit their family, dying family members. So I think we need to pay attention not only to data security and the future we're setting up for ourselves with the private sector, but also to think about, you know, what's at stake here? Can we really achieve it? We know very little about how long, the vaccine-derived immunity is going to last, about transmission rates, and about, you know, if we're going to do natural immunity, the quality of the tests that, you know, are going to be available in the future. So I think we need to pause for a moment.
So let's say, though, that there are businesses that decide to adopt these, as I mentioned, the cruise lines, for example. What are the ways you think, if you think it is possible, to have exceptions that wouldn't so undermine the protections that are intended to make the passport itself meaningless?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are already systems in place where if you want to travel to New York, say, you need to get tested within 3 days of arrival before you leave, and then you are able to, you know, if you come up back negative, you can go about your life. And so there are ways, alternatives to these kinds of passport systems that do let people travel for important reasons, and those should be part of passport systems if we have to have them. But I think we need to pay attention to what the private sector is doing and potentially regulate their behavior. So it's understandable that employers want to ensure that their staff and their customers feel safe, but their actions can have significant effects on other people's lives. So if a travel company or an airline says someone can't fly because they pose a risk to others, but that person's willing to take precautions, they're willing to get tested, they have a really good reason to fly, I think, you know, it may be the case that we should let them fly. And that may be so because once people are, the vulnerable are largely vaccinated in the United States, we don't pose such a great risk to others. It's an infection fatality rate of around 1% for this virus. And so, you know, that's the kind of thing that most people can live with. And you know, it's not necessarily going to increase economic activity. It may change who flies if people feel safer flying when they have a vaccine, knowing other people are also vaccinated. But it may also constrain people from flying who, you know, were willing to take precautions and can no longer do that.
We'll continue with our guest, Nicole Hassoun of Cornell University, where she's visiting scholar, also professor at Binghamton University. She recently wrote a piece in Scientific American, an op-ed titled, How to Make Immunity Passports More Ethical. We're at 866-893-KPECC. 866-893-5722. And I'd like you to weigh in on the AirTalk page on Twitter at AirTalk or post on the AirTalk Facebook page whether you would like to see requirements for travel, for example, ultimately for school admissions based on universal vaccination. 866-893-5722. We'll be back in 1 minute.
We'll be right back.
Should American businesses be free to require proof of vaccination for COVID-19 as a condition for entry, participation, joint use of a product? What do you think? We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. I was thinking, Professor Hassoun, about cruise lines particularly because, you know, everybody's a captive audience aboard the ship. If you had exceptions there for people to just test in advance because of testing not being fully reliable and because of the periods of time that could be involved there between testing and someone being positive for COVID-19, would that be realistic in your view to do testing in lieu of vaccination proof, or would you make an exception for something where you are in such a vulnerable environment as a cruise ship?
I mean, I'm not concerned about cruise ships, frankly. Like, it's a fun activity for rich people, and if they want to require people to have a vaccine, that seems fine to me. I, on the other hand, think, you know, I'm thinking about cases where people really need to travel or access important things for, you know, health reasons, for family reasons, who already can't get vaccinated. Maybe they, you know, there's just not good data and they don't want to, you know, they're pregnant and they don't want to take the risk of, you know, getting the vaccine without the data in place. And that seems reasonable. Then are we going to say for, you know, 9 months, you can't go out in public? It depends on what it is the vaccine passports are used for, whether or not I think these exceptions are really important. But, you know, I guess what really concerns me is the international case, right? There's great vaccine nationalism. Countries hoard these vaccines and rich countries have access, but poor countries don't. And so is it fair to people in those countries then to say also you can't travel? And of course, it's only rich people mostly who can travel anyway globally. And we need to think about the effects on tourism and so forth. If it reduced, you know, total tourism to not require the passports, that would be a consideration. But I think if we're going to put these passports in place, we also need to think about being fair with the vaccines, because any unfairness in who has access to them is translated into unfairness in the passport system. And so the Swiss commission that was looking at immunity passports had a nice suggestion that, you know, maybe people should get vaccinated when they come to your country, right? That's an alternative. So, you know, I think we need to think about not only exceptions, but ways of compensating people or trying not to exclude people when we really don't have to, if the passports are going to help us achieve a good objective. And there we need to know whether or not having that passport system in place will reduce, you know, their transmission rates or increase economic activity first, before we do it, because there's no good reason to do it if we can't achieve the benefits that we want with that passport system.
What about other leisure activities? Well, one of the things I was thinking of is, you know, sporting events to move toward full capacity in arenas, for example, for NBA or National Hockey League games. That might be something leagues would consider, would be the proof of vaccination. Now, obviously, you have to have money if you're going to go to a professional sporting event anyway. So maybe it's like the cruise line example there. But what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I'm not saying that I would be in favor of immunity passports on cruise ships. I guess I just don't see that as a life-supporting activity for most people. So I think it's really important that people be able to access schools and work and travel for important health and family reasons and that kind of thing. And then, yeah, is it fair to say to people, you know, if it's known ahead of time, look, if you go to the sports event, there'll be people there who might not have had a vaccine. Is it then a good enough reason to say, well, you'll feel safer if you already had vaccinated if we exclude other people from going to a sporting event? I don't know. I mean, I don't know that the burden should fall on one side of the line or not before the vaccine is widely available and, you know, fully approved. I think those things should be in place first. And then at that point, we don't really need them, right? When we have herd immunity, then there's not a justification for a vaccine passport, at least when it's widely available, if enough people are taking it up. I think that the justification probably wouldn't be there. And it's different if, like, without the passport system, our health system's not going to function, right? Then there's a good justification in place for having it. So I think we just need to look at the justification.
We're talking with Professor Nicole Hassoun, joining us from Cornell University, where she's visiting scholar at the Einaudi Center for International Studies. Also with us, Raman Bastani, who is the CEO of Healthvana, based in Los Angeles. Mr. Bastani, do you have any particular ethical concerns or requirements about how your product, particularly the digital wallet health record, is used?
We view it first and foremost as your personal health record. And under HIPAA, you have a right to a copy of that record, number one. Number two, you have the right to make sure that that copy is accurate. What we're seeing on the ground is actually more like first base versus what some of the professors are talking about, which are all really important, but is second, third base. And the idea is that you have to make sure you have the accurate information in your digital wallet or in a way that can be compared to a government-issued ID, so then you can potentially do those different activities. So we're really focused on that first-order problem. We see really big issues with multiple registration sites across the country and, you know, bad writing on those 3x5 cards. So we're really focused, and we get, you know, tens of thousands of requests from patients saying, hey, I actually got the Pfizer, not the Moderna. I actually got this and this. And that we see as a pretty big problem. But overall, I think it's important to segment the conversation. International travel, totally different than domestic travel, different than employers, different than venues. And we're talking to some of the largest organizations and businesses in, you know, the country about all of these different issues. And I think it's really important to segment them differently. And it's not going to be you have a vaccination or else. It's a vaccination or maybe a negative test result or an antibody test showing that you still have some level of immunity. And we don't like the word passport necessarily. We think that can come from a federal government. We definitely don't like immunity passport. We think at its core, it's your personal health information, and you can choose it if you choose to do so in a way that helps you.
All right. Julie in the Valley writes on the page, we shouldn't be thinking about passports until everyone who wants a vaccine can get one. The passport should only be a way of incentivizing those who aren't going to help others unless they get a personal benefit out of it. That's Julie in the Valley. I want to thank our guests for talking about some of the ethical issues about the potential for a vaccine passport, as some other countries are using, some European countries, Israel using this as well. JF writes on the page, while there are a few people unable to get the vaccine, many more choose not to. Not only do those people put the public at risk, but may facilitate the vaccine mutating to more virulent or contagious strains. Requiring vaccination passports may encourage those who are hesitant or anti-vaxxers to get vaccinated. I just would remind, the vaccines are only approved for emergency use authorization. They've not gone through the full steps we typically think of with a vaccine. My thanks to our guests. We have much more to come in the second hour.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.